And welcome, everyone, to Your Money, Your Matters on Blog Talk Radio. And we certainly are glad that you are here with us again on a very fine Tuesday. I'm Rick Grady, your host, along with Todd Mark from Navicor Solutions. But Todd is not here today. And so filling in for him is the one and only Jill Farr, the Executive Director of Friends of Consumer Freedom. And we are certainly glad to have her here today and on board.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here. What a fantastic morning it is,
It's a wonderful day.
Beautiful.
An absolutely wonderful day. We put up a post a little bit about that the holidays don't have to be so horrible, but we'll talk about anything that you all want to talk about. So if you want to give us a call and you want to express your feelings on the air, you can give us a call at 646-929-1020. That's 646-929-1020. And then press the number 1 key, because that way I can see that you're little hand is in the air, and I can put you on the air. Now, if you don't want to talk on the air, that's quite all right. We understand that. But you can go to the chat window on the website. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/money_matters. That's money_matters on blogtalkradio.com. And then you will find our chat room is open, and I am monitoring that. So if you put a question or a comment in there, I will read that on the air. So we will we'll take care of that. Just before we get into starting to talk about things, I noticed right before the show that the GAO, which is the General or the Government Accountability Office, it's the one that does all the mathematics for the president and the budget, and basically says this is how much money we have, and this is how much money we're spending, and this is how much the debt is, and basically they do a lot of things. Just released a piece of research that showed that 68% of workers were not saving for retirement. In fact, a lot of people are not saving for retirement. And what they found was 68% of the workers are working for an employer that does not offer any type of retirement program. So they obviously don't have any way of putting money into it. Another 16%, so we're talking now over 84%, and another 16% don't qualify for their employer's 401k or retirement program because they aren't employed by enough hours. So I looked at that, and my first thought was, gosh, that's a lot. That's, you know, that's 84% of the working populace is not saving for retirement for one reason or another, primarily because they don't qualify for the employer's retirement plan. And then the thing came to mind was, well, why don't they just go and open up their own IRA and put some money in it?
You know, I think that's part of human nature, because as you were sitting here talking about it, I was thinking the same thing. But, and there's that big
mm-hmm,
but,
mm-hmm.
It's just human nature. That's an extra step to drive to the credit union or
mm-hmm.
the bank or go online. And the employers that offer a retirement plan, even if they don't match it, but if they just offer a retirement plan, it's
mm-hmm.
deducted automatically from your paycheck, and it's basically mindless. You don't have to think about it, which is, you know, just one of the great benefits of having an employer that does offer this, because it makes it easy and very difficult to say no to.
Yep.
But you're right. It sounds like an easy step,
mm-hmm.
but we're all busy with, right now, soccer and football and groceries and getting ready for the holidays. And because, you know, the stores have gotten really schizophrenic, because you've got – they started putting out Christmas in July.
They did.
But now mm-hmm. they've got to make and they were already starting to clear out Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. but now all of a sudden you've got Halloween. And so you've got ghosts and goblins next to Santa and the angels. And then so it's really kind of –
You were at Hobby Lobby,
world.
I guess.
Can you tell?
I saw that right after 4th of July. In fact, I went in the store right after 4th of July. And I wasn't really going to be buying any kind of holiday stuff. I just went into the store because I had to get a couple of little trinkets for a neighbor that did a favor for me, and I wanted to get something for them. And I just happened to glance to my left as I walked into the store, and here was the huge display of just what you described. You know, it was, they put it out during the 4th of July. And it was Halloween followed by Christmas, and it just segued itself all the way through the back
of the
store.
That's right. It's definitely colorful, and there's definitely plenty to tempt you. But back to this retirement thing before, because I do want to move on to that. Do you, even though the research said it's because their employers don't offer the match, do you think that because wages and salaries have been flat and in some cases declining, and prices keep going up, my gosh, dairy has just jumped in the last month. I went to the store a couple of weeks ago, and I did a double take on how much the dairy products have gone up. So, you know, with wages remaining flat, it's one thing to say, well, I don't have time to go open up this account. But the other thing is, I think that wages remaining flat or down and things going up, it's just making a squeeze on a lot of family budgets.
I think that's true. I think that, you know, certainly one thing that I've noticed is the inflation has been mild. If inflation was higher, the Federal Reserve Board would have changed interest rates by now. But it's actually fairly low, primarily driven by gasoline and oil being very low. But I think that you're absolutely correct is that wages have been absolutely flat, and other things have gone up. The price of housing, rent.
Housing is skyrocketing in a lot of markets.
Utilities, all of those types of things have gone up, so it takes a little bit of a nip out of the paycheck. And one has to budget more severely just to be able to save money and have money taken out of their paycheck. You know, the only way that I found when I was tight on money, and there were times that I was and there were times that I wasn't, but the only way that I found that was kind of a saving grace was as the money went in, there was an automatic deduction from the account of a percentage, and it was just moved over into a savings account. So all I did was I went and looked at my checking account, and that's the only balance that I would really look at as far as, you know, what's available for spending. The rest of it was off in a savings account, and I didn't look at that at all. But it takes a discipline to do that.
It does, because a lot of financial institutions, banks and credit unions, offer you the opportunity to look at all of your accounts, and they make it very easy to make a transfer. So I actually have my You Can't Touch This Money in another account in another institution so that I can't touch it, because it's really easy to hit that transfer button if things get a little tight at the end of the month, which happens, you know, with everyone these days, it seems like. So,
you know, and there was a small fragment in the GAO study of people that work for an employer that have a 401k and they aren't putting any money into it or taking advantage of the 401k. And my feeling on that is shame on them, because you're basically giving up free money.
That's right.
If the employer is doing any kind of match whatsoever, you're giving away free money. And it is dollars that you could have for retirement by working for that employer. They are matching it for the people that are in there. They would match it for you if you put some money in there. So, you know, don't neglect it.
Well, and think of it this way too, Rick. If you're getting a match, these days you're not getting anything on a tip standard savings account, much less even a CD and a lot of your investments. If you think about the employer is matching what you're putting in, that is 100% return on your investment.
That's a great way of putting it. I hadn't thought of that.
A match is, well, it's a match, but it's like if I put in $100, they're going to put in $100. Where do you get that kind of return on your investment these days?
Yeah.
And so you're right. It's it really would make a lot of sense, even if it is only $50 or $25. If you start out small and begin that savings, that's how I began years ago as a struggling single parent. But my employer had had that option for me to put that money away, and I was amazed at how much it did build up over time.
And
So, but yeah, it's 100% return on your investment, certainly on the portion that's matched.
Yep. And so if you don't have one, here's my prescription for you. Go to your financial institution, go to a credit union, sit down with them and say, I don't have any kind of retirement savings account, and then let them begin to make some magic happen by helping you define what those types of accounts are. Typically, they will be an IRA or a SEP IRA. If you're self-employed, you'll probably have a SEP IRA. You can have a Roth IRA. It depends upon what you want to do as far as, is the money going to be tax deductible now, or is it going to be tax deductible later? So whether you want an IRA or a Roth IRA, that's you know, entirely up to you in your certain circumstances.
And SEP, is that someone's nickname? Tell us, Rick, what is a SEP IRA?
That is a self-employed program IRA.
There you go. SEP.
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 And it allows you to put money into it and not have to pay income taxes until you withdraw the money, and you can begin withdrawing the money when you're 70 and a half. And when you're 70 and a half, the interest or the rates for taxes at that point in time should be fairly low. It depends upon, of course, what happens now with administrations changing and deciding that tax programs are going to be one of the issues that they're going to debate about, both on the Republican side and on the Democratic side. But I can say this: they debate through them, and they do it every 4 years. They debate through it and say, "This is what I will do for you as far as your taxes are concerned." And then when they get into office, the IRS rules are so ugly that nobody wants to touch them, and so they avoid it entirely because nobody wants to touch the IRS, nobody wants to touch the IRS rules, and so another 4 years go by, and then they debate them again. So. Even though that would be a great plan of some of them that have been presented so far, I kind of look at them and go, yeah, okay, I'd like to see the implementation side of this at some point in time. And I haven't seen that since I was of voting age, which is decades ago.
You still are of voting age.
That is absolutely correct. You never run out of that either. That's something that individuals should do.
Well, it's hard if you're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there
mm-hmm.
in my lifetime. But once you take that step, you just adjust your budget. And even for people that think I can't spare another dime or a dollar, just taking that small step and making that habit. Because most people in this country, because we have great upward mobility, don't stay at that lower paying level. Eventually, if you're working hard and being there on time, you're going to have opportunities to move up and increase your pay. So while things have been stagnant for the last few years, it still is just a way of empowering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that have been seem hard to achieve, but empowering yourself in how you manage your money is just, it's a great feeling, and it's a great feeling of accomplishment too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's another thing people don't focus on is how it makes you feel as an individual or as a family or a parent to say, I've done this, I've accomplished something on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to me, very much of a motivation.
Mm-hmm. I remember that when my daughter was in high school, early on in high school, I started a savings account for her. And I did that for the reason that I wanted her to get accustomed to putting money, as she began earning it for various jobs, into a savings account or a portion of it, basically paying herself and then using the rest of it for whatever expenses that she wanted to. And for a while, that was a real struggle. You get this net paycheck, and you want to spend it, and you end up spending it all if you're not careful. Now that she's 25, and she has seen the fruits of her labor build and build and build in the savings account, it has become a challenge to see how big I can make it. And so now she's gotten swinging to the opposite side of she's so frugal and cheap. She's cheaper than I am.
Oh,
she really,
no.
She is just incredible.
I'm not sure. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She will find a bargain on everything.
Good for
on
her.
Absolutely everything.
Good for her. Well, and it does become a bit of a challenge of, mm-hmm. like, how can I find another way to save just a little bit more? And a lot of people are getting on that bandwagon, so
mm-hmm.
that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
At this time of year, as you say, there are so many temptations. And as I used to call it, or maybe my babysitter used to say, my grandma used to say, your play pretties.
Mm-hmm.
All the play pretties in the store that are there now. And I went the other day because I couldn't stand it anymore and walked into the phone store and started looking at, well, maybe I need a new phone because I've had this phone, which is perfectly good and working for 2 years, but hey, and I'm sure people are out there going, what? You're still using a two-year-old phone?
Oh, sure.
So I went in because they have signs all over the store.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing down, only $15 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read the fine print on that pretty phone that does just so much for you, that I would never learn how to use it all. If you look, it's a lease. It's a 2-year lease. And with the lease, you're paying twice as much as what that phone already costs, which is out of sight expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And just for that $15 a month. But it's never yours,
mm-hmm.
never your own phone.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it was, I walked out. I still have my 2-year-old phone. It rang this morning. I got a text. I can check my email and my bank balance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and most
know.
People, that is it. I mean, those are the total apps that they use
uh-huh.
on their phone.
And my pictures are still there.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I saw a lot of pictures of the crowd taking pictures of the Pope
yes.
with their phone.
Yes.
And there were a few that were holding their iPad up in the air as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, these big clunky tablets up in the air to take a picture with. And I thought that was kind of humorous in and of itself. But a lot of people are doing that. They end up being instant reporters.
Yeah, the other night, my husband and I were getting ready. We were setting up lawn chairs in the front lawn to watch the beautiful full super moon, super blood red
mm-hmm.
eclipse. And we have a little telescope that we brought out. I said, let's set the telescope up. This isn't an expensive telescope. It's
mm-hmm.
most people would probably call it a toy telescope, but it's a little bit of it. So he's tinkering with it and getting it just right, and then I happen to, you know, knock the thing out, and so he's trying to get it back focused, and it's dark, so we couldn't see. And I looked at him and I said, you know what, just look at this with your eyes, because
yeah.
we're going to miss it if we're
mm-hmm.
trying to look at it through the telescope. And isn't that so much about life now? We're so busy taking pictures and we forget to see it
right.
with our eyes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely correct. I can understand it. I mean, I went out to see what it was like, you know, preparing myself, hey, this is going to be a really fantastic event. About 6 o'clock, I noticed it was getting a little bit hazy outside.
Yes.
Then about 7 o'clock, it was getting hazier. By the time 8, 9 o'clock rolls around where you can see the event, it's cloudy.
The clouds have rolled in. Yes.
And so I did the next best thing. I dialed into the NASA telescopes, and I got to see it on the NASA telescopes.
Up close and personal.
Yeah, and so it was a lot more exciting just sitting. And besides, from their telescopes will track the movement of the moon, so it keeps it dead center all
so
the time.
So you don't ever lose it in your sight like we did.
No,
yes.
No.
Well, we pulled up our lawn chairs and we watched it, because we went out when it was getting closer to covering up the light. And
mm-hmm.
So we sat out there and watched, and then it kind of got covered up, and we're just going, okay. And apparently, I guess the Earth is bigger than you think about it. And so, because I thought, well, it's going to move in, and then it's going to move out, and this is going to be a 15-minute event. And we sat out there.
And the water of the bird bath is going to shift
That's
over to
right.
one side.
We sat out there and sat out there, and it just, you know, it was looking blood red, but, you know, that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went inside for a while, had dessert, and then came back out, and
mm-hmm.
And the eclipse was over, but another 30
yep.
years before it's going to do that again.
That's true. You know, talking about eclipse things, I was taking a look at some statistics. I wanted to kind of figure out how much people are spending. I mean, we're getting ready for the holidays, and we posted up on the Blog Talk site that if you can save $90 a week between now and the 1st of December, you'll have about the same amount of money that the average person is going to spend during the holiday season. So, you know, as we get closer and closer and closer, that keeps growing. I know that a while back in September, earlier part of September, it was only 100 days until the 1st of December. And if you just saved a dollar a day, you'd have $100.
Yeah.
So if you save $7 a day, you'd have $700. And that's pretty close to what the typical person is going to spend. But so while I was looking at that, I thought, well, what are people really going to spend during the holidays on average, and what do people think? And I found that on average, people are going to spend about $75 for Halloween. Now, I don't see myself spending $75 for Halloween, but they broke it down.
Have you checked the price of candy yet?
I haven't checked the price of candy.
Clearly.
No. But what they did say was that from a retailer's standpoint, this is a $7 billion industry.
Yes.
And that costumes are typically, on the average, $27 a piece, unless you get some really elaborate stuff. But a lot of people will wear costumes, and that's $27. They'll spend another $20 on decorations, and the remainder will be all on candy. So we got 47 basically out of 75. We've got about another 30 some odd dollars that they're going to spend on candy, and candy alone is about a little over $2 billion that they'll spend just on candy. So it's a big deal to a lot of companies.
And have we calculated how many fillings that the dentists are going to make after all that candy? That'd be an interesting statistic, don't you think?
I think it would be. In fact, you know, I know that there was a dentist in my neighborhood when I was a kid, and he used to hand out toothbrushes. And I often thought, if you want to really promote your business, hand out as much candy as you possibly can.
That's right.
Especially those
with your name on it.
Yeah, especially with those Jolly Ranchers. And tell them to bite down hard on them, because they'll pull a tooth or pull a filling easier than any other piece of candy that I know of.
Oh, I chipped a tooth the other day just biting on some bacon. It's like, how did that happen? It was just a piece of crisp bacon. But I digress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when we say holidays now, I really was serious. It used to be that I think those of us of a certain age, of a certain generation, we made our costumes. You had
mm-hmm.
a sheet with three holes in it, and you
mm-hmm.
were a ghost, or you might buy a costume,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't a 20 or 30 and sometimes even more, and you had $10 worth of candy. That was Halloween, and then
mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving, you get a turkey and you go pick some dead leaves out of your oak tree in your yard and put it in a vase. And now there are just great, beautiful, giant mums, and
mm-hmm.
that's $30 for your mums, and then the pumpkins. And now they've got, did you know they have designer pumpkins, Rick?
Yes,
they're
I saw them the other day.
Beautiful pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. We were actually in West Texas a couple of weeks ago visiting my mother-in-law, and there was a big article in the paper, and it was showing them harvesting all of the pumpkins.
Mm.
And those pumpkins, many of them were destined for right here in the Dallas Metroplex and for the Dallas Arboretum. And in Texas and New Mexico are big pumpkin-growing states. It's a good cash crop.
Mm-hmm.
But you will pay for the pumpkins. So now when we talk about the holidays, instead of a Christmas time, December time, holiday span, you've got 90 days worth of holidays. And we're not talking if you decide to have a little party for one of those. So how do we, it's not just about the gift giving, it's all of the other purchases
that you make.
It's
all the other stuff. It's
anymore.
I was looking at the stuff for Christmas, and before we get off of Halloween, I noticed last year at one of the stores, the strangest looking pumpkins that I had ever seen. They were square.
Really?
Yes. And I asked.
I
said,
haven't seen that.
And I was looking at them and looking at them, and finally the florist, who I guess takes care of that part of the department, came over, and I said, "These are the strangest looking things I've ever seen. I mean, they were square pumpkins, but they were real." And evidently, several farmers have wooden crates. And as the pumpkin grows, they put the pumpkin into the crate, and then when it grows square rather than round.
And they can charge $20 for
it. Oh, they do. Oh, yeah. But I thought, that, you know, ingenious little idea. You can stack them. You can do all kinds of things with them. But I didn't know if I really wanted a square or rectangular
square pumpkin.
I prefer the little round ones.
Well, I knew I had a friend, a colleague that I worked with, and her mother lived in a very nice area of town, had nice, good resources, shall we say. And she had bought one of these giant pumpkins that cost about $100, but her mom was still a practical woman. And she said, "I paid $100 for this pumpkin.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it down." And so when it got to be around after Thanksgiving, she got a can of gold spray paint and painted it gold, and that was her Christmas door decoration as well.
Yep.
So,
you know, and you can. I mean, if you are if you're quick enough on them, you can actually take a pumpkin and turn it into a pie. It's a real messy job to do that because you have to boil it and all this other crazy stuff. But you're right about that as being another expense. That's part of what they would call the decorations of it. You go out and you buy a pumpkin, and you have to think about this. You go out and you buy a pumpkin for maybe $20 or $30, whatever it might be. And then you you carve it all up. You throw the inside of it away, which you could. My daughter usually harvests all the seeds, and then she bakes those with a lot of salt on them.
Oh, we always roasted the seeds. Mm-hmm. My kids still love to roast the pumpkin seeds.
But she, you know, typically you take the stuff in the inside, you throw that all away, and then you have, and then you carve a face in it, you put a candle in it, and then about a week later, you throw the whole thing away. And I thought, okay, that's $25 in a week. I got nothing out of it except maybe a little bit of enjoyment of somebody saying, "Nice pumpkin." And that's a, you know, the only comment that was ever made on the entire pumpkin. And then I threw it away. So what I did several years ago, because my daughter, if she's home at the time, still likes to carve pumpkins, is that you can go to a craft store, Michael's, Hobby Lobby, any craft store, and a lot of times they will sell you these things that look like pumpkins.
Yes.
But they're artificial pumpkins.
Yes.
And you can carve
those. You can carve them. That's
and then
right.
You can put them in your attic and bring them out the next year.
That's right.
It saves you a lot of time and a lot of mess in the carving, but you'll always have the same pumpkin every year, so do a really good job on it.
Especially after your kids grow up, because you're not going to be wanting to
Yeah,
carve
I don't
the
sit there by myself on a Halloween and carve pumpkins, to be real candid.
And nowadays I get my roasted pumpkin seeds at Sprouts and the house food store.
Yep. And they do, you know, a little bit of a better job. But the other thing that I noticed, I wanted to see, okay, how much are people going to spend between Halloween and the end of the year, not counting New Year's. I just wanted to see Thanksgiving, Christmas, primarily Christmas, what's it going to cost? About $780.
Wow.
Everybody's going to spend about $780. They'll spend.
Is that per person or per family?
Per person.
Really?
Per person. Mm-hmm. And they figure, on average, for the typical consumer, they're going to spend $780. They'll spend $29 on cards, including postage. So a lot of people,
They must be sending out about five cards because postage.
Postage is about 50 cents on an envelope, so
that's
it's a buck for every two.
That's right.
You got a box of 50, you got $25 in postage. So you're right. It can be pretty expensive. The Christmas trees I found were a $2.3 billion industry, of which the real ones, on average, now I haven't seen that here in Texas, to be candid, but on average, a real one will cost you $35.
Yes.
Put a one in front of it for Texas.
Yes.
That's typically what I see. The artificials will cost you, on average, $85. Now, I can tell you, I have all artificial trees. None of them cost $85. They were a whole lot more than $85.
That's right.
And I bag them up and carefully put them away every year, but they have lasted me for, probably the oldest one is 17, 18 years. So
you're lucky. You must take really good care of yours.
Yeah, I don't put it in a really heated environment. I don't shove them up in the attic. I have one closet that's in the house that some of them go into that are small enough, and then the larger ones go into a storage facility that is not is environmentally controlled.
Okay.
So they always stay pretty nice. Otherwise, in the attic, that plastic gets really brittle over a period of time, and all the needles will begin to fall
right
off. That's the first thing you see is the shedding of it. But I spent probably on average, I'm going to say honestly, $500-$600 for each one of those trees. So you got to keep them for 10 years to make them pay off.
That's right.
But I chose that route from the standpoint that, A, it always looks nice, and, B, it's not as flammable as the other ones.
That's true.
And that's what always scared me about a real tree was the day that my dad, we always had real trees, we always went out and cut them, and then we always had real trees. But my dad, being an insurance guy, one day when we were small kids, said, here, I want to show you what happens with a dry Christmas tree. He took it out in the backyard, stood it in the stand, stood probably, I'm going to say, 15 feet away from it, took one of these sulfur head matches, lit it, threw it at the tree, and the tree exploded in flame.
He sounds like he could be on that commercial, that insurance commercial.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he was just like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two or three times in my lifetime, I have had to take the tree down, and the last time I did that, I said, come on, we're going to get an artificial tree, because I do like to have the decorations up. That's another thing that's changed over time. I think years ago, people put their tree up maybe 2 weeks out, or and a lot of people grew up with the tradition of decorating the tree on the night before Christmas, and so you didn't have those issues. I have even cut down a tree in the woods of Minnesota and brought it back in the truck. We didn't go up there just for that. We were up there anyway. And kept the tree in water, and it did last. So there's something to that. But they're cutting the trees now.
They are sold
in the Christmas tree lot. So by the time you get it up, it's not long for this world. And it is scary when you see how dry they get. And so that was part of my rationale, because I wanted to get those decorations up, because it's a lot of work to put up all those trees, or a tree even. So for me, it's the artificial, but yes, they're expensive. Part of it is because they're made from oil-based products, and so as the price of oil goes, so goes those trees. It costs some money to do those, but that's, again, that's just the decorating. We haven't been shopping. We haven't been to the grocery market or gotten the Harry and David catalog. And what about all those catalogs? Made a purchase or gave away my address, and I am all of a sudden getting a lot of charitable requests. How do you sort through those in the holidays? I think you've got to, and I will just, make this note, because I've done been a nonprofit for years, you've really got to make sure it's an organization with whom you are very familiar.
Yep.
That have a well-known name attached to it. And it's easy enough these days to go online and look up that organization and Google it and see. You can go to the Better Business Bureau. The other thing that concerned me the other day is they send you all this information and they send you a handy-dandy form, so again, we don't have to do a lot of work
mm-hmm.
or think about it much,
mm-hmm.
and check your box and a place to write down your credit card information.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to send it off to who knows where.
Yeah, we are so trusting.
We're so trusting. And so one thing that I want to caution people, because we all, this is the spirit, the season of giving,
mm-hmm.
and we become very generous, and I know our family has tried to make a tradition of we take a portion of what we've budgeted for Christmas gifts, and we make a donation
mm-hmm.
in our grandchildren's names, our kids' names, and then at Christmas, we have a card that we can print off, and they open that up, and they know
mm-hmm.
what has been purchased on donated on their behalf in their
mm-hmm.
name, which is a great Christmas gift idea because we all have more stuff than we ever need.
Oh, yeah.
But make sure you know who you're giving to,
mm-hmm.
and don't send back that form with your credit card. And I would even, and I know people are say, well, I don't want to do this online. I would say that if you make sure you've got that HTTPS up in the little corner on your computer, that means it's a secure site, because I feel a lot more trusting than to send someone my written credit card information
yep.
through the mail. So I think that's a big caution of how not to donate. Write a check
yep.
or do it online
yep.
on a secure site.
And that's, I was just going to mention that you could go back to the ancient old form of writing a check and putting it in the mail if that's what you want to do. It's a lot safer than giving somebody your credit card information, because you are right. You do not know who's going to open that up. We do know instances of waiters or waitresses in restaurants taking your credit card to pay for your dinner and going and running two slips, not one, and then they have the credit card information, then they hand that credit card information off to an individual who gives them $20 for it or whatever it might be. They do that with enough waiters and waitresses, and all of a sudden they've got a large collection of credit cards that they know the person's signature, know the numbers, know the PIN numbers, all everything that they need to know, and they go out and use them. So, we've seen that. We've seen that happen. The other thing I was going to mention is, you know, if you are going to spend on the average of what people are going to do, and you're going to spend $781 on the holidays, you really do need to start putting money away for it right now. If you put $90 away a week by December 1st, when it comes up right after Thanksgiving or close to right after Thanksgiving, you'll have about $780 at that point in time that you can spend on holiday gifts and probably take advantage of some of the sales that are going on at that time as well. Although I did see our favorite craft store, Hobby Lobby, already had sales on Christmas stuff.
Oh, yes.
50% off.
Yes.
And I'm going, it's not even Christmas yet, and you're doing 50% off. And my guess is that some accountant walked in there and said, we have too much inventory on the floor, and we've got to get rid of this stuff. And so they are already discounting it to get it to walk off the floor.
Oh, yes. And don't count on after Christmas sales at some of these places, because they have begun to clear it out by the end of the year.
They do.
And I did make the mistake, and Hobby Lobby is one of my go-to retailers, so
mm-hmm.
this is not in by any means criticism, but
mm-hmmm.
by January 1st, there is not a lot of Christmas stuff left,
mm-hmm.
and I think they also just pull it off the shelves and warehouse it. But, you know, a lot of people, I actually saw this on TV the other day, and they were showing people's gift closets. Now, I think some of these people that I saw, it was kind of their excuse to be a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
without hoarding trash.
Mm-hmm.
But because I saw, you know, closets that had been built from rooms and spare rooms and storage sheds, but they had some really amazing gift closets.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people that are, they're pros at it.
Mm-hmm.
I can only aspire, but they make sure they've got some money left, and they buy their items
mm-hmm.
after Christmas and put them aside for next year. And these people were saying, yep, I've got them all, everything wrapped, 124 gifts. They're all wrapped. They're all tagged. They're ready to go.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, obviously they've made themselves a list and determined who they're going to gift and how much money they're going to spend, and they've done that, and that may be a kind of a wise move.
I think what goes around comes around. I know that I've talked with families. We've talked about this in our family. You know, there are ways to give people a gift, and it's more than just opening up another candle.
Yep.
Or even another iPhone, because
yep.
we're kind of programmed to, you know, oh, I'll just go out and get it. And I think the things that are meaningful, they really are, can be handmade, but it also can be a letter or a card that's heartfelt. Those are the things that you really save, and they're
mm-hmm.
the things that don't
mm-hmm.
wear out. Making a charitable donation or asking your family, please make a charitable donation in my name to this charity this
mm-hmm.
year instead
mm-hmm.
of buying me another gift that
yep.
I don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's being creative. It's being thoughtful of what are these gifts really supposed to mean, and do my children need one more toy in the toy chest?
Mm-hmm.
Taking the money that we may be a lot, because it's this mentality of we've got to have all these Christmas presents that drives a lot of this. I'm not saying don't buy gifts for your family, but I think we tend to, I'll get this and then I'll get that.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the other options are, you know, taking your family shopping and shopping for another less fortunate family, and
yeah.
then donating that, and
mm-hmm.
then doing another thing that I know that our family has talked about is having an experience. Well,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go do this. Last year it was we all bought each other season tickets to Six Flags.
Mm.
And so we've been able to enjoy, and because of when we bought them, which was in September when they go on sale, and
mm-hmm.
it's the lowest price of the year, but they were good until the end of this year. And so we've gotten 16 months out of these season passes,
mm-hmm.
and the kids have really gotten a lot of enjoyment and much more fun we've had as a family than if we had just spent that $60 and done something else with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it was a really good price. And if your family is in the vicinity of some sort of an amusement park or a museum, those are also wonderful gift-giving opportunities, and you get a lot more value. So I think
mm-hmm.
it's trying to find the value both in what you purchase or the experience
mm-hmm.
or doing something for others helps frame that gift-giving frenzy that we tend to get into.
Yeah, those are really good ideas. I was looking around for what could somebody do that was less expensive or more economical, however one wants to frame it. And what I did find was there's Google DIY. Google has a secondary site called Google DIY, which is do-it-yourself. And it's kind of like Pinterest to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so there's a lot of ideas that are out there. If you go out there now, there's a lot of holiday ideas of things that you can make, either for decorations for yourself, or you can make and then gift people with those things. And they're very interesting, and some of them look very, very nice. And like what you were saying, if you give something of that nature that you actually made or wrote or designed or painted or whatever it might be, it's much more treasured by individuals than if I went out to a store and just bought another set of wine glasses
yeah.
for somebody.
Yeah.
So I think that you know, investigate those types of things if you want to cut back on the budget a little bit, or you want to be more frugal, or you want it to expand farther. You may decide that, yeah, I'm going to spend $780 this year, but I'm going to make it go farther.
Yes.
So some of that's going to be supplies of things that I'm going to make, and I will then make those things and then gift them. And don't forget that within that $780, you kind of want to earmark out a few dollars for boxes and wrapping paper, which is incredibly expensive.
Yeah, that's what I always buy at the end of the year. I go get decorations as well after Christmas, and so I have an unending supply of gift wrapping items. I love doing that.
Mm-hmm. And that will help a lot. I mean, it stretches. You figure that and this is the honest truth. In the past, and I've looked at it. In the past 5 years, I always try to theme what I'm wrapping so that it all kind of matches and goes together and everything else. Silly thing, but that's what I do.
I'm just going to start calling you Marty Stewart.
Yeah, but I think I spend over $100 on wrapping paper and bows and ribbon and all that kind of stuff. And if you think about it, that's a lot of stuff to at the day that you give it, somebody rips it into a million little pieces. That's all it is.
Remember when they used to tell you to wrap your stuff in the funny papers? Only no one takes the paper anymore,
and
so you don't have the funny papers. Although, you know, one of the most chic and design friendly, and now I would even say it's probably environmentally friendly, is to buy the brown craft paper and then just get pretty ribbon and decorate it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There are certainly more, so many options on things you can do, and they're easy because I'm you know, I don't start in August needle pointing ornaments for people.
Mm-hmm.
What I found last year, one of my little tricks, I got went to the Container Store and got decorative little Chinese takeout containers, which were very, very inexpensive, and, you know, got some cute ribbon and some stickers to put on them. And I went to a grocer that has bulk spices, and I got mulling spices.
Mm.
And then I think I maybe dried some orange peel on my own so I could really say it was handmade by Jill. But I chopped up the little oranges and put that in, tied it up with a pretty ribbon, and people had mulling spices for their cider, their wine, and that was my neighbor gift, you know. So, and it was not expensive. And that's another money-saving tip that I have learned just for my day-to-day. I go and I once I've emptied out that spice jar, I buy bulk spices are very easy to find anymore, and my grocery store carries them, and I buy my spices in bulk. And bring it home in a little bitty mini baggie, and then I put it back into the jar, and my spices are always fresh, and I've saved myself a lot because I like to cook. And, you know, I've found it's a real good money-saving tip. You'll save a lot of money because spices in a jar in your grocery store are very, very expensive.
They really are if you look at it. You know, if you try to equate it back to what you would consider poundage, price per pound. If you take a look at that, they are very, you know, you really want to see the silly one. Take a look at what a real vanilla bean costs in one of those jars.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking $12-$15 for a vanilla bean, and I'm going, okay, I'll just take it as an extract from, you know, you know, rather than grinding up. Although I have bought, I'll be totally candid, on weekends, there are times that I have taken a vanilla bean and put it in with the coffee beans and let it grind the whole thing up and have vanilla bean coffee.
Do you know what I did with my bulk spices this week?
No.
Because we have a field behind our yard and the deer like to come in and eat my flowers, and I've been spraying, and the spray is very expensive, and I looked online, and this is for anybody out there that's got problems with deer, and you go get your bulk spices and get ground cloves, ground cayenne pepper, black pepper, garlic.
This will do it.
Mm. And I mix that with a package of fertilizer called blood meal, which is just what it sounds like, and it's really a fertilizer, but the deer think it's, you know, something else. And they've been kind of staying away from those trees and shrubs that I sprinkle that stuff around, so I'm need to open a bulk spice store, I think, at this point. So what do you think the bottom line is, Rick, on how are we going to pay for all of this and make it through the next 3 months with our account balances intact?
Yeah, I mean, if people haven't saved, and I realize that there are people out there that have found either a difficulty or just don't save. Because I do know people that just don't save. I've watched them spend. But what I would say is this. If going into the holiday season, make a plan. Figure out what your list is going to be. Actually write down a list. But the other thing is that if you decide, gosh, I haven't saved anything and I really would like to buy some gifts, I'm not opposed to somebody using their charge card for it. As long as they realize that within 60 to 90 days, they're going to have to pay that balance off completely.
Yeah.
And so don't charge anything. The best thing to do is be able to pay it off when the bill comes due, so that you're always paying off the entire balance. But if you can't, because you haven't saved anything for the holiday, then maybe what you do is figure out, all right, part of this is a little bit of interest on the money that I'm going to leave on my credit card. And I'm going to pay it off in 60 days. So at the end of February, it's gone.
Uh-huh.
It's back down
yeah.
to zero again. And that's one way of just managing your money and extending it out a little bit farther. It isn't the greatest thing to do. If you had a savings account that you started January 1 and you put some money into it for the holidays, for the first 10 months out of the year, the last 2 months out of the year, it'd be a piece of cake. Because you'd have some money stashed away for just the holidays.
And remember, you don't want to have that holiday hangover, and it's not from all the champagne. It's from all of those bills that start coming in January 2nd.
Yep. And it's never, you know, I once saw an individual, I was talking with them, and they said, well, you know, I always wait until the night before or... you know, with the online stuff, I can order it the week before, and then I have them deliver it, you know, in 2 days
yes.
or 1 day. And I'm going, you can have it delivered in 2 days or 1 day for $15 to $30. They'll
yes.
drop ship it right to your door. But you have to, you didn't save anything doing that. It costs you a whole lot more to do that than if you had bought it a lot earlier. If you're going to do online shopping and you know what those items are, then buy them now. And take the free shipping, so it comes to you in 8 to 10 days. Big deal. You have plenty of time between now and the end of the year, or certainly the holidays, to be able to then wrap them up and put them in your closet. And hopefully you remember that they're in your closet where you can find them. But you don't have to pay the $30 drop ship just because you procrastinated to the last moment.
I remembered also that 1 year I just had been busy. I was working really hard, and this is years ago. There's so many sales are much more prevalent, but I went in the week before Christmas, and they had really slashed prices. So it did pay me that year to procrastinate, but I was there physically in the store making the purchases and bringing them home and wrapping them, which can be a little nerve-wracking if you've got deadlines going on, but it saved me some money. And, you know, nowadays also stores are publishing their Black Friday prices early, and so you can make a plan, because we haven't even talked about the strategies people have for Black Friday, which is a whole nother ball game in and of itself. And
it is. I can remember doing it once, and really have never done it again.
Or to never do it again. Yes.
I have also gone out on the 26th because I saw a very large stack in Macy's. Macy's was the store. They had a very large stack of these window candles. And I always wanted to have window candles. I have them now, but I always wanted them at that time. And after building the house, I went and counted all the windows. And I thought, on the 26th, well, I'm going to go in there and get these candles for half price because they were pretty expensive at full price. And I went in there, and I did get all of the candles that I needed, but I stood outside the store with this mass of people. And when they opened the door, we all made a beeline for the holiday decorations. I was basically accosted verbally for taking as many candles as I did because people thought I was hoarding them. And I, when I got out of the store, I thought, you know, I made it out with the candles, but I'm almost half naked because of the way that people were, you know, are grabbing and shoving and everything, everything else. And I thought, I'm never doing that one again either. So now if I have a replacement that I need periodically during the year because one of them may have failed, so I always have a couple of spares because of that, I buy them really early or I buy them online. Is really what I do. I look around. Sometimes I see them at a hardware store, and a lot of people don't go to the hardware store for that type of decoration. And,
right.
And I'll see them, and I'll buy a couple of them for spares.
And again, you know, you just mentioned it. The hardware store is a great place for gift giving because they run great specials and a lot of things, you know, that you can make a really nice, inexpensive gift with, you know, some cute garden supplies or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's also a great way to come up with cute wrapping supplies because you can get an inexpensive tin bucket anymore and decorate that up. So remember the hardware store, seeds and shovels and
And for somebody that likes to garden, that would, you know, certainly those types of things, that'd be a wonderful
gift.
And
it's a very inexpensive gift, under $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think
be creative. I think we're saying be creative as well. You can do so much.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have plenty of time between now and the end of the year for them to put a plan for 2016. And I would say starting January 1, start saving. Start putting a dollar away here or there, and that'd probably be the best thing you can do.
You do realize, though, that in just a few short weeks, some of the radio stations will begin to play Christmas carols nonstop.
I know.
Until December 20th. The countdown begins just like the countdown is coming for the end of this show.
Yeah, I know. And then the nice thing about it is that I have the iPod, so I can always go back and listen to regular music, even though I do like holiday music. Thank you, Jill, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having
me. It was certainly good to have Jill Farr
in
here.
In the holiday spirit.
Friends of Consumer Freedom, look it up so that you can get involved in their activities as well. So for everyone on the Your Money, Your Matters show, for the Cornerstone Credit Union League, and for Navicor Solutions, that have been sponsoring this for quite some time, we are certainly thankful that you have been with us this Tuesday and hope that you have a very wonderful week. And that your next week will be even greater. So have a great day and take care.
Bye-bye.